want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 417, recorded live on September 8th, 2015. I'm your host, Scott Burks, with
Steven Dad Infinitum and
Task 427.
You can join our chat room and watch live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. Also, find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by Cache Advance, cache-advance.com. For all your geocaching needs, cache-advance.com. Go find it. Hello, boys. We're missing someone today, aren't we?
Yeah.
Why am I doing this? How did I get stuck doing this stuff?
That's because you got thrown under the bus.
So Andy's under the weather. He's got a migraine. He's not feeling well tonight. He's on assignment is where he is. So we're gonna be, you know, when the captain's away, you know, the fish will play, so to speak. So we've got a crazy show tonight because it's a Kasha Coffee. So no holds barred tonight. But we'll start with everybody. How's everybody doing? Corey, how was your week, Sir Corey?
I love it. The weather's getting cooler. But alas, <Love it. laughs> I have not had a chance to go geocaching.
And why is that?
My family called, and they said they needed their father.
No. Did you tell them no?
How could I? They're like, I got like two little girls that do the little doe eyes. And then their mother's looking behind him, and she's looking very stern.
Mm-hmm.
She's the non-catcher, and so right. I give in.
You give in and just go for it and just do the dad thing.
So yeah,
and the grandpa thing too, right?
Oh yeah, because we watch our little granddaughter about three times a week now too. So
I love it. What about you, Chad? How was your week, Chad?
Get some of those geocaches one of these days.
Yeah, I managed to move myself out here for into some temporary lodging out in California, and drove up to Yuba City on Labor Day to pick up a geocache from September 2000. So, knocked one more off my Jazzmere list, down to two caches left. Two months to fill out on my Jazzmere list. Picked up a few more caches in the area up there, including a. Probably the most interesting letterbox that I've done to date, which a letterbox that actually had me traveling around for a couple miles in order to find the final from where it was the coordinates were listed. Mm-hmm. So it was basically having me drive around to different landmarks in the city with vague hints and stuff, and then finally found the cache. It was pretty interesting. Today we got a heat wave coming through here, so it was 106 degrees while driving home, but that was 106 dry degrees, so it felt like about probably low 90s for Houston weather.
Really?
Yeah, that's the difference with the humidity versus not.
So you're in California now. For anybody who doesn't know, Taz moved to California from Texas last week, right? Last week, right?
I moved on Sunday.
Yeah, so this week. I guess technically this week.
It's not going to change you into a liberal casher, is it?
Pardon me?
It's not going to change you into a liberal casher, is it?
No, I'm on the eastern part of the state, so.
Yeah, you know, we're not going to start flying up because you're going to say, yeah, I found it.
No, not us. Okay. No, I don't play those games.
No. Yeah, so I spent my Labor Day working. I'm a freelancer by trade, so you know, I don't work, I don't get paid. So I spent Labor Day working, as fun as that is. I worked, but I only worked till about 3 o'clock, and then I went quickly into the woods, and I spent the next couple of hours in the woods until sundown. So it was good. It was a fun day. You know, I got some hours in, and I got some hours in the woods in. So I was happy. Other than that, it was, you know, pretty a quiet week, just work, work, work. So all right, let's move along then. What do you say, guys? Should we keep going?
Sure.
All right, let's go to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community, what's coming up this week on our shows here for the GeoGearheads number 193, randomized, oh my God, what is it, 37, randomized 37. Walt Grogan, hey, I know that guy, Walt Grogan. Walt Grogan, Chris Umfenauer, and Dale Wattenberg are talking over a pile of topics in a single episode for the next randomized show. Good old Wally. It's going to be on GeoGearheads.
Boy, that's going to be almost as good as Chicago Geocaching Podcast, except with all the cussing.
The cussing won't be there. It's like that show minus the swear bell is what it is. And on GeoSnippets Reboot Podcast, we got September 2015 Mishmash episode. Wife Amy and Head Hard Hat discuss a host of geocaching interests. Could that be more vague? What do you think? And finally,
a bunch of random podcasts. That's what we got going on this week.
Discuss a host of geocaching interests. You know what that means? That means they have no idea what they're talking about. They're going to talk about it. That's what that means.
He didn't prepare on how to put something in there.
Nothing. He's got nothing to talk about. Finally, becoming a patron of the show, guys. Hey, I looked today. We only have 9 patrons. God, there's not one person out there to make it an even 10. I mean, really, one more person out there can't, you know, spare $2. You know, come on, we don't make you laugh once a week. We don't make you laugh. Come on, $2. $2 for a free laugh. Go to www.patreon.com/geocachingpodcast for all the details. There are rewards for donations as little as $2.50 a month. For $5 a month, you will receive exclusive content not seen or heard in our shows. More rewards and special offers for our patrons are coming. Keep going. We're moving. We're talking about the Cache of Coffee. So, GCPC episode 417, Cache of Coffee, boys. So, this week we're going to talk about quitters. I always love a good quitter. And so we're talking about quitters today. Quitting means, why do you guys think, what is the reason geocachers A, burn out, or C, quit geocaching? What do you guys think? Give me Taz. Taz, give me it.
Number one reason, burnout, I would have to say too many damn LPCs.
You think it's the LPC? You think it's the...
The thrill is gone, and, you know, we've gone more micro-nano LPC hides and not enough interesting hides in the woods or at great locations.
Mm-hmm. Corey?
I think they're misinformed and they don't get any cash in their caches.
What? Yeah, I would
they're
go. I would go
swag. I mean,
yeah, I would go. I would go more Taz than Corey. Where I don't know if it's LPCs per se, but I think it's
it's not limited to LPCs, yeah. but boring caches in general.
Yeah, I think. I mean, if a couple of months back, we all discussed, the golden age and all those different eras of geocaching, and I hate to harp on it, but back in 2008 to 2010, that pre-phone era, you know, when it was kind of a select group and it was kind of a hidden thing and it was kind of a fun club to be a part of because, you know, it was like an underground club, kind of like Fight Club kind of thing, you know, and except nobody beat each other up, but. It was this thing where it was fun to do, and most caches were creative. There wasn't an LPC every, you know, every place you went, you know, every strip mall I went to. Now every strip mall I go to, I know there's a geocache somewhere, you know. It wasn't like that back, you know, 7 years ago. So yeah, I can see it's a bit overwhelming for a new person, and like I said, like to find a quality cache where it used to be 1 out of 3, now it's 1 out of 20.
Right. And so I think a lot of the new cachers only hit that. Right. I think the average is something like 4 or 5 caches before they quit. Right. A typical cacher, because they never found anything all that awesome. You know, and I think if you find that you know a few awesome caches, it's like golfing, and you know you hit that one great shot, and it makes up for all the pain and aggravation of all the hook shots and slices and other things for any golfers out there. So I quit golfing, by the way.
And why did you quit golfing?
You didn't have any of those good shots
too many slices and not enough great shots.
Yeah, I mean, I think it has a lot to do with, you know, especially when it comes to burnout. You know, I mean, people can always come back. You know, I've talked to people who have stopped doing it for months, and you know, I ask them, you know, why'd you stop? And they go, because I know it's always going to be there. It's not going anywhere. Yeah. You know, but it's like it's
true.
I did, you know, a couple thousand or 5,000. I have other things to do. You know, it's just now I want to, you know, tackle the basement or tackle, you know, recarpet the house kind of a thing.
No, and admittedly, I was one of those who had, you know, less than 10 finds right out of the gate, and I stopped caching. I didn't cache for 133 days straight, and I happened to be overseas in China, and decided to say, hey, is there a geocache over here? It'd be kind of cool to have a cache in China, and you know, found one cache in Xi'an, because there's only one cache within a 100-mile radius of Xi'an, mm-hmm. China. And then the next weekend I was in Shanghai, I grabbed a couple there. And, you know, it kind of got me re-enthused, because actually there was a couple of good hides.
Mm. Yeah, Corey?
Well, you know, I think it really depends on how you get how you find out about the game and how you get interested about the game. I mean, I got a lot of people that are finding out, hearing it about the game nowadays, because you hear it through the grapevine, you Google it and you listen, you look it up, and you're like, oh, let me put the app and let me figure it out. And a lot of people are doing it all on their own. And they're looking at, oh, they go to this one and they go to this two, and they're just parking grabs, and they're not very good, and they're just like, eh, you know, this isn't what my friend said it was.
Right.
But if you have, you know, where I got started, I had somebody who had the love of the game, said, have you ever heard about geocaching? And I went out and found, and I thought it was cool. It wasn't the greatest thing, you know, when I found that first cache. But then he took me out, and we went out caching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I found lots of horrible caches, but also found lots of great caches. But, you know, it's if you have somebody who takes you out to find some of those good caches, it starts
exactly.
to explain what the sport's really about.
Yeah, keep a list of a few good caches in your area where you can take friends quickly out to
right.
to go grab at the kind of set that hook.
Joe, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's talk about that for a second while we're on the subject of that. Let's talk about, I'll give you guys a second to think about it because I've got mine in my head, right, because I was pre-planning this. Let's talk about that first cache that you found. Now, obviously, you know, you guys have been caching for a while, right? Over a year, both of you, correct? Right? Long time?
Years, yeah.
Right, yeah. So that first cache that got you hooked, I don't mean the first cache you found. I mean the first cache where you went, good Lord, this is awesome. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to give you mine first, and then you guys give me yours. Mine was called Reel It In, and to this day, I found this 7 years ago. To this day, still my favorite cache. And I'm total spoiler alert here. This is the cache. This is the one I was finding, you know, ammo cans in the woods or LPCs, and I run across this cache. I'm on a path, and I'm looking for this cache, and I can't find it. Finally, I find it. It's called Reel It In. What it is it's a fishing pole tethered, like, stuck to a tree, okay, like bolted to the tree. Then he's got the line going up the tree and then across, I don't know how he even did this, across a branch and then hanging down, and the cache is hanging over the path. So what you got to do is you got to let the fishing pole, like, click it, you know, so the reel comes out and it goes, and it falls to the ground. And that's a sign log. And then you got to tick the cache back up to lock it. It's back up there. To me, that was, you know, that's the first cache I ever found that was like, good Lord, that's incredible. You know, like the most amazing thing I ever saw. To this day, it's still my favorite cache to go to find. I take people to it all the time. And that really got me going in terms of geocaching is wanting to do it and found it amazing. Like if this more of this stuff is out there, that's incredible. So that was mine. Give me Corey. What's yours? Give me yours first.
All right. I think the one that I got, mine was an ammo can, but it was a multi. And it was a great multi because it took me to a bunch of different places. And it looked like it was a field that used to be they used to have paintballing. And there was all these pallets and other barriers and things like that, but it had been deserted for a long time. So you're going around just finding your way back and forth around picking up all these different coordinates. And then you go to the end, so you go up to the top of this hill, and you find this big old ammo box, and you open it up, and it's got one of those little alarms, where if you pull it away from the magnet, it goes off.
Right.
And it just wee, and it just tears the tar out. I mean, it was the greatest thing. I mean, I loved it. And you go up there, and the batteries die every so often. So I mean, I found myself carrying those extra little batteries so I could go up there and replace them because I was close by, because it was just the greatest thing, far enough away from other people to where it's not gonna annoy the neighbors, but it was just, you take your buddy up there just to get the ultimate laugh.
That's great. I like it. Taz, what about you?
I think one of the ones that really got me hooked was it was called an LPC in the woods. And you're out in the middle of the woods about probably a mile from the nearest parking lot. And it's, nice trailed woods and stuff. And, of course, there aren't any lamps out there until you're looking at this tree, and it's got a conduit, a metal conduit going up, and you look up, and it looks like it's actually, the lamp shroud bolted to the thing, and it has a white thing in there that looks like the bulb, and at the base it has this little lock box, and it's like, okay, well, it's got a lock in it. It's like, okay, well, what's the combination? You read the hint, and it's like something like life is all about pie or something like that. So 314, you put it in there, you open the lock, and you open the lock box, and it's got this little windy wheel in there with a string in it. Well, what's going up through the metal conduit is the string. And so once you release that and let that come down, the bulb is actually a white plastic container that's in there. You open it up and you sign the log and put it back in there, and then you wind it back up, put a little dowel in there to hold it in place so it doesn't spin back down. And you lock it back up, and I think that was, probably one of the coolest caches I've ever seen. And for someone who hates LPCs, it's like the best LPC you'll ever find.
Yeah, and it's a shame that there's not more of those out there, because I think that's like, if somebody who quits the game before they get a chance to see stuff like that, I don't think they ever got a chance to really enjoy it and see right. some really cool things like that. I mean, I've seen so many cool caches in the years that I've been doing this. Just to think of them, it's just going through my head. It's just some really good ones,
The necropolis of Britannia Manor 3 in Austin. That is one of the must do caches. Doctor Who out in
out in Seattle.
It's in Oregon. It's down in
my girl Portland. It's in Portland.
Portland. Yeah.
My girlfriend, she did it when she was out there.
Yeah, that one's awesome. There's one in New Orleans Vieux Carré. Actually, it looks like Vieux Carré, but it's pronounced Vieux Carré. And it's a multi, but it actually you wind up going on top of a building, and it's now archived. I got archived a couple weeks after I had seen it a couple years ago, But you know, basically, the one of the guys who works there takes you up on top of the building and gives you about a 1 hour, 1.5 hour tour of the city from on top of one of the skyscrapers in the city, just, you know, pointing out everything and, you know, where these historic events happened and stuff. And that was probably one of my favorite caches that I've ever done.
Corey, anything else?
You know, there's so many that I can think about, just not at this moment.
So let's talk about burnout then. You see cashiers who cash for 2 years, have about 5,000 fines, and then they just quit. Just quit. Like never to be seen up again. I'm sure we can name somebody. I know I can. Name a bunch who they were in it for years, and then boom, they're gone. Just like a snap of a finger.
What they're doing, you know, 5,000 in a couple of years, you know, this is the most I've done in a year so far, and I'm a little over 600 so far this year. I think if you do too many, you're going to run into the situation where you're finding just way too many of the boring caches, because you're on more, I think you're doing more number runs when you're doing that, and that's going to burn you out. So, you know, it's not about the numbers. Take it easy. Go to areas where, you know, you're likely to find some good caches. Go get out in the woods.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what, I think is what it really is all about. I mean, like, I was taught from an old schooler of a woodsy guy, of, you know, avoid the LPCs and hit the woods kind of a thing.
Right.
And even if, like I was, when I hit about 8,000, I was on that tail end of 10 grand. So I was really cooking and just number run after number run trying to get that 10 grand mark. And then when I hit it, it was like, okay, no, well, now what? You know, now it's like, what do you do? You know, it's like, now my next big one is 20. You know, it's like, Jesus Christ, that's a whole nother 10 grand. So it's like, now it's just, I do it because I enjoy it. I don't care about the numbers. I don't care about where I'm going. To me, it's all about quality now over quantity. It's been quantity for years trying to, you know, getting near the 10 grand. Now it's quality. Now I don't care if I go out and I get five. I don't care. You know, if I had a great time and I've got great caches and I'm in the woods, I don't care.
You know, and take vacations that are going to take you to great places, but also give you the opportunity to get some caching in. And, it doesn't necessarily have to be traditional caches. I apologize. My phone in here is ringing, and nobody knows that number, so I have no idea the apartment that they set me up in.
Well, good Lord, answer it, man.
just ask them, hey, what's your favorite cache?
So
nobody knows that number. You answer the phone when nobody knows that number. What if,
so,
what if it's God? For all you know, it's God.
Don't think so. God has different ways to get a hold of me. So
no, he uses
the lightning bolts.
The
you
hotel
know.
Phone is what he uses.
So, where the heck was I?
God in hotels. Is that where you were?
Yeah, I lost track of what I was talking about.
You were talking about, we were talking about burnout and
yeah, we were talking about burnout.
I don't know. Okay, all right, Corey, what about you?
Damn you, phone.
What about you, Corey? What's your opinion on that? Somebody gets 5,000 cash, has been cashing for years, and one day is just gone.
You know, and I think it's come to one of those, you know, the golden days of geocaching to some people is gone, you know, to where, you know, the good days are gone, and everybody just throws down these caches that are not, they're not what they used to be anymore. All the larges and mediums are now nanos and micros, and there's no ingenuity anymore. There's no creativity. A lot of people think.
Right.
I mean, I've heard it said. You go to the forums and you hear people saying it. But rarely do you see people taking the positive side of that and going, well, you know what, let's do something about it, which is what geocaching.com is trying to do with, you know, like Maker Madness and, you know, things like that. Hey, you know what, let's bring the creativity back.
And I'll admit the first, you know, few caches that I did not have very much creativity into it. But then when I personally was seeing that, you know, I'm getting tired of these non-creative caches, I wasn't going to put out a cache unless it had some amount of creativity in there, whether it be puzzles, whether it be multis, or whether it be just like my totally tubular cache or my, you know, my magnetic, you know, cache that you can't, you know, looks like a numbering on a utility box, but you pull the magnetic, flat magnetic panel off there and you got the log sheet on the back, you know. Those are the type of caches that I intend to hide from now on. I don't intend to hide maybe one or two, but I don't intend to hide very many common caches.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Corey.
I mean, T. Pujgach said in the chat room, he says, the longer I find the longer that I cache, the more I enjoy hiding over finding. Mm-hmm. He wants to know if anyone else feels the same way.
Yeah, I mean, I have over 100 hides. I enjoy hiding. One thing I love doing, what I just did it today, which I found a new love for. I haven't done this in a really long time. Brute forcing a cache is one of my favorite things to do. I did it today. There's a puzzle cache out here, and not that far from my house, which you have to find like 8 caches first to get to the final, right? And it's one of those like, oh, you know, no one's going. And to top it all off, 3 of the 8 I'm an archived, so like, you can't do it basically. So there's this poor out cache out there that'll never be found again because it's the final for an 8 cache that's only 5 of them are out there. And so I heard a buddy. I asked him, like, where's the final? He's like, I don't remember the cords. He's like, but it's kind of near here. He told me, kind of near here is all I got. Okay, kind of near here. Let's go. You know, so I took 20 minutes. It took me 20 minutes to find it. Drove out there in 20 minutes. Boom, found it.
Oh, so, you mean brute forcing the coordinates. Okay, yeah. So I was thinking brute forcing, you know, like a puzzle cache container.
No. I mean, knowing kind of where it is, knowing the vicinity of a cache, and actually old school geocaching it where you don't have the cords and you're just looking for it and you stumble across it. You know, those are my. Yeah, I love doing that.
I brute forced one that had an old geological map, and I knew the coordinates had to be either one location or another location. But neither one of them checked out, and because they had a geochecker on there, and I couldn't get it to check out on the geochecker, and finally I just went out there and did it, and you know there was old logs talking about how you know it's covered on fire ant mound, so by a fire ant mound next to a tree, mm-hmm. There's a ton of trees out there. So, you know, I brought my hiking stick out there. I went to the first set of coordinates that I thought it was going to be at, and I'm poking through the fire ant holes, and I hear a thunk, thunk.
Don't you love that?
First one was like, oh, yeah. And of course, at that point, I set my GPS to start averaging there because I wanted to get the average coordinates. I want to put that in and see if the geochecker checks out. first thing I do, you know, I pry the container out because – you probably never dealt with fire ants, but trust me, you don't want to deal with fire ants. And I took the container and I threw it about 30 feet up in the air, let it land to knock all the fire ants off, and did it again. It was a pretty sturdy container, so got all the fire ants off the container before I opened it up and signed the log. And then I got the average coordinates and I put them in the geochecker. It still didn't check out, but I figured it out. And that was kind of brute forcing.
I once FTF brute forced an FTF 8 stage multi, and I FTF'd it by brute forcing it, looking at it because I'm like, okay, well if it's here and it's in the woods too, and I'm like, and it ends like somewhere around, so it's got to end over here somewhere. and he had a hint that mentioned like food or dinner. I'm like, well, there's a restaurant right here, and so let's go look at that restaurant. So I walked to the restaurant, lifted up two skirts, bingo, there it was.
You ever stumble across a geocache in the middle of the woods?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. I've stumbled across an unactivated geocache in the middle of the woods.
I stumbled across a puzzle cache at 1 a.m. after FTFing a nighttime ninja cache in the middle of the woods. And, you know, look at my GPS, look at my phone. It was like, well, there's no coordinates here. Yeah, so there's no traditional cache here. And, you know, I pull out the log, take a picture, I sign the log, put the paper back in there, and then I circled out to all the puzzle caches around there and solved each puzzle cache around there until I found the puzzle cache that it belonged to.
No, I got the trick is to look at the log sheet and look at
I lied there. I circled out and I looked at the log dates. And then I went back and I solved the puzzle because I'm not going to claim a puzzle unless I've solved it.
Really? Oh my God! None of them.
I solved the puzzle.
I have solved every puzzle for every puzzle cache that I've ever done. Now I might have had help solving it, but
the guidelines say that I just have to sign the log. So
right, exactly. I mean,
I love puzzles, so I mean.
Another absolute favorite of mine is finding archived caches. Those are more of my favorites too.
Yeah, I found a few archived caches that I on puzzles that I have solved, and I've got a list. It's like, okay, they archived that damn thing. It's like, I bet it's still out there. I'm gonna go look.
Right, and it's like a freebie. You know, it's like I remember. Yeah. Me and Jesse, we were in, I think we were in Tennessee. No, yeah, Tennessee. We're in Tennessee walking down a path, and she's like, what the hell is that? And you know, like, she spotted it from, like, the path 25 feet into the woods. I'm like, I don't know. Let's go see. So we ran over there. Sure enough, an archived cache from, like, years ago.
Wow.
And we took a picture of the assigned our names, took a picture of the log, went home, took about a half an hour to dig through people's, you know, old finds and figured out which one it was. Boom. Log the cache. Log the archive cache. It's been archived for 4 years. You know, I'm sure that owner was like, what the hell's going on? Yeah. I love, to me, that's like beating the system, you know, I love doing that. I love brute forcing a cache or finding an archived cache. You know, I love that kind of geocaching. Yeah. Anybody else, boys? Final words? That's about 9:05. Anything else you have to say?
We'll have to insert the question of the day. Hold on. We'll put it in a second. Then we got to talk.
See what happens? I totally missed it. All right. Let's do the geocaching day.
Sorry, Lisa.
Well, we'll do it right now. Andy, kick in the question of the day for me. Geocaching question of the day.
Hey cachers, this is Lookout Lisa from Cache Advance, and I'm your host for the geocaching question of the day. Well, Cache Advance is your geocaching hub for all your caching needs, including the Cache Crate, a monthly subscription box of geocaching and outdoor gear. Well, Mondays through Thursdays, we ask our followers on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+ a question about geocaching. We recently asked, do you use Pocket Queries? Well, after tallying all the answers, we found that 88% of cachers do use Pocket Queries. So here's what we heard. Doug on Facebook spoke for many of the 12% that don't use Pocket Queries. He shared, nope, I don't see the point when I do most of my caching using a smartphone and that is almost always connected to the internet. Well, Mark shared, not really. GSAC makes it so easy to create databases, etc. Well, we should mention that GSAC is the geocaching Swiss Army knife. It's an awesome database tool for managing your geocaching. Well, Spencer on Facebook shared, yes, I do. I download them into GSAC and then put several onto the GPS that way. I also download them to my phone as well. It helps a lot to use the Pocket Queries. Well, Mark on Twitter shared, yes, I use event caches or places I plan to be when I travel as the center point to run a Pocket Query. Well, like Mark and Spencer, I personally use Pocket Queries the same way, and I often run even an events-only Pocket Query so I can keep track of them around all the megas that I often attend so I don't miss any of the satellite events that are in the area. And also, using Pocket Queries on my phone really helps when my data is spotty or I'm in a bad area for data connectivity, and also to help keep me on track if I have a special route planned, such as doing just maintenance-only caches like I did just last weekend. Well, thanks all. As always, we really enjoyed hearing about Pocket Queries, and you can too if you follow us, Cache Advance, on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, for the geocaching question of the day. Thanks all, and happy caching.
Oh, well, thank you, Lisa. I'm glad we got it in before the final bell tolled, so to speak. I totally missed it on the show notes. Totally forgot about it. Thank you. Thank you, Corey, for that.
Yes.
All right, boys. Good show, I think. Little discussion about quitters and how much we love them. So thank you. So let's close the show. Andy, give me the music, man. Thank you for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast, and thank you, Cache Advance. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the GCPC website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home site, iTunes, Stitcher, and many of your favorite podcasts. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head of Content production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Corey Stevens, and Jay Gordon. This show is copyright 2015 by Andrew G. Smith. All rights reserved.